You know, from all of us here at First Church, from our family to your family, and certainly you are part of our family as well, I just want to take a moment and wish you a very Merry Christmas. There you go. Thank you. Thank you so much. My name is John Collins. I'm one of the pastors here, and we're just overjoyed that you've come together to join us. You know, yesterday I ventured out in the traffic, and wow, there was a lot of it. So, you know, I think Christmas Eve is a great time to just kind of slow down. Because tonight when things close, you know, mostly they'll be closed tomorrow as we enjoy this beautiful holiday. So here at First Church tonight, we want to just encourage you to just slow down. As a matter of fact, even stop and just take in a deep breath of what the true meaning of Christmas is all about.
Hey, it's me. The video. It's Christmas Eve. Can you believe it? December just happened. Some of you are sitting here and don't have a care in the world. You're not busy, and this season hasn't been hectic at all. Every gift was easy to find, and every family member has been unusually kind and generous this December. But then, there are the other 99% of you. Some of you just left the house and are trying to remember if you blew the candles out. The ones near the highly flammable Christmas tree that's getting drier by the minute. Uh-oh. Some of you are getting together with extended family members whose expectations are higher than Mount Kilimanjaro. Some of you barely made it to this service, and within the last 60 minutes actually thought, maybe we should just skip it altogether. So for all of us in here, I just want to remind you of what's really important. All that other stuff is important, but this one thing is way more important than anything else. So just breathe and take it in.
She will give birth to a son, and you shall call him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
And the Word became flesh and dwelled among us,
and they shall call him Emmanuel, which means God with us.
Today in the city of David, the Savior has been born to you.
He is Christ.
He is Christ.
He is Christ the Lord.
That's what's really important. So wherever you're at, whatever you're in the middle of, and whatever is coming next for you and your family, we invite you to set aside this time to focus on Christ the Lord. Just breathe. And allow yourself to view this world-changing event with awe and with wonder. After all, God is with us, not only in Bethlehem, but right here, right now.
Family. My name is BJ. This is my son Gavin and my daughter Lainey. Over the past four Sundays, we have been lighting the candles on this Advent wreath.
The first candle reminded us of God's promise to send us a Savior. The second candle reminded us of the good news that brings hope to us all. The third candle reminded us of the joy we can have through Christ. And the fourth candle reminded us of God's ever-present help and peace in times of trouble. Finally, tonight, on the eve of Jesus' birth, we come to the moment for which we have been preparing, the day on which we celebrate the coming of God's Son. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were all terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on peace and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests."
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord had told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Luke 2:8 through 20.
Tonight we celebrate the birth of Jesus by lighting the Christ candle. It is time to rejoice, for God has sent us his Son.
Pray with us, please. Dear God, we thank you for showing your great love for us by sending your Son, Jesus. Our prayer is that the announcement of the angels will become our announcement. May the significance of Christ burn within our hearts so that we share Christ with others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good evening. So the song is Mary, Did You Know? Now the Bible tells us that the angel came and talked to her, so she knew. However, we have to think about this. Here's a girl, a young teenage girl, and this is happening to her. We have to realize that there had to be some anxiety. Questions? She probably had 1,000 questions to ask. And yet God did it this way. Why did he do it this way? Maybe we would have done it differently. You know, we know this story so much. We've heard it every Christmas. We know the Christmas story. Maybe we even tune out every once in a while. And when we do that, this is what we miss. We miss the shock. We miss the awe. We miss the wonder. We miss the scandal that was going on at this time. And then we have Joseph. So we could ask the question, Joseph, did you know? Now, of course, the angel came and talked to him also. He probably would have divorced Mary. He wouldn't have been for that. And I often think about this, is I would have loved to have been the proverbial fly on the wall when Mary said, Joseph, we need to talk. And you know what Joseph is thinking? She wants to change the color of the nursery. No, that's not what she wanted. So we have two people here. Mary, did you know? Joseph, did you know? Do you think they knew? Think they knew in full? Completely? Probably not. And so it comes time for the birth. There's no family around. There's no familiar surroundings because they need to go register. Now, you're probably thinking, oh, they went to register at Bed Bath & Beyond, and Target. No, they registered for taxes, different town. So two people, but they both listened to God. Mary, did you know? And she listened. Joseph, did you know? And he listened to the angel. The question tonight is, present tense, do you know? That's the main question tonight. The main question tonight is, do you know? Do you listen? Emmanuel means God with us. And so with all the things going on in your life, whether it be problems or sickness or whatever it might be, the Bible said God is with you. Not maybe, not probably, God is with you. Promises never to leave you, never to forsake you. Never. You know, also, we many times we think, I talk to a lot of people and they think, why did God do this way? Why the stable? Why not like in a fancy place? Why not in a temple? You know why? Because I think what was going on here, it was this humble beginning, was the anticipation of what was going to happen 30 years from now, the humiliation of the cross. That was anticipation. Why did he do it? Easy question. Because he loves you. And again, with all the problems, all the sin, whatever it might be, he went to the cross for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you that we can come here and that we can rejoice in the fact that there's a birth, and the birth is for us. It's not just a normal birth, it's God being born as a human. We do rejoice in the fact that you love us so much. And once again, we humbly say thank you for doing this for us. What a great gift. No gift under the tree could ever match this gift. We pray all these things in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Well, it's good to see you all here tonight. Why don't you go ahead and stand? We're going to sing some songs. And it's so easy with these songs that we sing at Christmas to kind of just blow through them and not really think about what we're singing. Because we've heard them our whole life, and you know, worship is less about the words and the music that we're playing, and it's more about our hearts. So just give your hearts to the Lord tonight. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. Oh, sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. We adore you, we adore you, we adore you, Jesus.
Sing that again.
We adore you, we adore you, we adore you, Jesus. We adore you, we adore you, we adore.
Thank you.
adore you. With angels above, we bow down before you.
Any of children would like to join us for a Christmas story? Of any age of children, you may come join us. Come on down. We have children. Parents with young children, you're welcome to ring them up. So there you go. All right, you come on, Kevin. Come on, come on. There you go. Children of all ages, sir. Wow. Hi, guys. Merry Christmas. Wow. Merry Christmas to each of you. My name is Connie, and I'm the children's minister here, and I get to share a story with these children and each of you tonight. Boys and girls, are you excited about tomorrow morning? Yes, it's going to be a very special morning. Boys and girls, most of all, we have something very, very thankful to be happy for, to have joy for. What are we celebrating most of all? Lily?
Jesus' birth.
Yes, the birth of Jesus. Very good. I have a fun little story here. And maybe you can figure out what this sweet little dog is going to give the baby. You may look at either screen or you may look at Miss Connie's book. Rufus and the Very Special Baby. Rufus was getting ready for bed. He just curled up under his cape when suddenly Ava came running. "Get up, Rufus," Ava shouted. "Something wonderful is happening." "Stop it, Ava. I'm sleeping," Rufus grumbled. "But Rufus, I have to tell you about the baby," Ava said. Rufus's ears perked up. "Just now, when I was in the field with the other sheep, angels filled the sky. They said that God sent a special baby boy as a gift to the whole world." Rufus leaped out of bed. "A special baby sent by God? Let's go find him," Ava said. "The angels said the baby would be in a manger. I'm going to bring him some of my wool for a pillow. You can bring a gift too." Wool is a good gift, thought Rufus. I wonder what I could give a baby. A nice bone, a smelly fish, a ball of string. No, those were gifts for a baby dog, not a baby person. Rufus thought and thought. Then he came to the conclusion, I don't have anything special enough to give to a baby from God. But Rufus wanted to see the baby. Maybe he could just take a peek. So he followed after Ava. Ava and Rufus walked down the path and found Joe. Ava told him about the special baby. "I want to give something to the baby too," said Joe. He grabbed a big armful of hay. "This hay will make a comfy bed for the new baby," he told Ava. "That's a good gift," thought Rufus. "The baby will like having a soft place to sleep." Rufus, Ava, and Joe kept walking. Soon they found Hal. Ava told him all about the baby. "I want to bring the baby something that will make him smile," said Hal. Hal looked at the beautiful flowers in the field. "This is the biggest, brightest flower in the whole field," Hal said. "It will make the baby smile." "That's a good gift," Rufus thought. "The baby will like having something nice to look at." Soon the friends found Yuri. Ava told her all about the baby. We're all bringing gifts for the baby, Ava said. Maybe you can sing him a lullaby. Uri coo nodded. Ava, Joe, Howe, and Yuri headed towards the stable to find the baby. But Rufus hung his head and kicked sadly at the ground. Everyone has a gift but me, he thought. If only I had something special to give the baby to. Do you have any idea? Ava, Joe, Howe, and Yuri walked into a small building filled with shining light. Rufus peeked through the door, and then he saw the baby. A woman rocked him in her arms. A man was cleaning out a wooden manger that usually held food for the cows. The baby fussed and cried. Ava, Joe, Howe, and Yuri tiptoed up to the family. Joe put his bundle of hay into the manger. Ava added her wool to make a pillow for the baby's head. The mother laid the baby on the wool and the hay. Right away, the baby stopped crying. He snuggled into the bed that Ava and Joe had made for him. Next, Hal scurried up to the manger and sent his flower gently inside. The baby's eyes seemed to shine with light, delight. Yuri flew up into the rafters and sang a beautiful song. The baby listened for a while, then closed his eyes and let out a sigh. Rufus watched from the edge of the room. Everyone had found just the right gift to welcome this special baby, but Rufus didn't have anything to give. His tail drooped. He began shuffling out the door. But when Rufus heard Ava whispering to the others, he stopped. The baby's mother said his name was Jesus. She said he's a sign of God's love for the whole world. Rufus looked again at the manger, and then he saw something he hadn't noticed before. The baby wasn't sleeping, he was shivering. Cold air was blowing from the door and keeping him awake. Suddenly, Rufus knew exactly what his gift should be. It wasn't going to be easy. Could he give it away? His very favorite something? Rufus needed help. Dear God, you gave the special gift of Jesus to the whole world. Please help me give away something I love to someone who needs it more than me. Amen. Rufus took a deep breath and walked up to the manger. He untied his cape and gently laid it on the baby. Jesus blinked his big brown eyes at Rufus, then cooed and fell asleep under the warm red cape. As the friends started for home, Ava and the others walked up to Rufus. I can't believe you gave him your cape, Ava whispered. I wanted to give him something special, said Rufus, because he's a special baby, isn't he? He is, Rufus, said Ava, and together they turned to gaze at this very special baby, this very special gift. All right, boys and girls, enjoy your morning, and please remember to thank God for Jesus. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to each of you.
Child, you can follow me. lead you home. Trust me and follow me, and I will lead you home.
There's a familiar carol that I'm sure you all remember these lyrics. They go, I'm dreaming of a tonight of a place that I love even more than I usually do. And I, although I know it's a long road back, I promise you, I'll be home for Christmas. You can plan on me. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents under the tree. Christmas Eve will find me where the love light gleams. I'll be home for Christmas, if only in my dreams. Millions have embraced this song and reverently listened to each word and note and hung on every sentimental thought that is woven through these lyrics. I'll be home for Christmas is more than a song. It's actually a prayer. And when it was written, it represented the hopes and the dreams and the prayers of the people more than any other song of its time. It was a very short song, but the way it moved a nation during a time of uncertainty during a war makes this secular carol one of the most spiritual songs of the era. It was 1942, and songwriter Kim Gannon knew the emotional turmoil that came with fighting a war away from home. Thousands of families had given up their sons to the armed services, but many had already lost their children to the battle. Christmas, which was traditionally a time of rejoicing, felt strangely different that year. The decorations still went up, and there were still Santas at the corners ringing the bells. But the war had cast a darkness over the holidays. It was hard to think of presents and peace on earth as parents anxiously listened to the news on the radio and read the papers and were praying that every telegraph delivery man that was walking up their street would walk right by their place. And to make it worse, no one was quite certain that the United States and its allies could actually win this war. Well, Kim saw this same gut-wrenching scene play out every day. She saw the prayers and heard the prayers of those frantic parents. She saw the tears of the newly enlisted soldiers as they said their goodbyes at the train station. She saw the rush of the people toward the mail carriers in hopes that he would be carrying a letter from a loved one. Everyone felt they needed to know what was going on, but there was a fear that came with that knowledge. And with the coming of Christmas, the depression of being separated from your loved ones was even greater. not only were those soldiers who were overseas mixed up with the uncertainty of the time, this war also took young men and women who lived in the rural areas, who moved away to the larger cities so that they could work in the plants and the offices. So this war even took civilians away from home. Rather to try and cover up what was going on, the writer simply wrote a very simple and straightforward, uncomplicated message of what it was like to be away from home for Christmas. Kim Gannon's song captured the emotions of hundreds of millions of people. Her words were then sent to a songwriter named Walter Kent. And you know, he also was aware of what was going on. He understood the stress of war, and he could actually picture those empty chairs at the tables, and he could see mothers who were trying to smile through the tears as they baked cookies and did other Christmas preparations for those that were still home. And he saw those unopened presents under the tree. And with those messages and images in his mind, he sat down to put notes to a musical score. And when he was finished, he came up with the hopeful melody that we know, and it fit perfectly with the lyrics. One of the true wonders of this song is that it sounds more like a letter home than it does a song. It's as if a soldier is sending a message back home to those that miss him and love him, saying, "I'll be home again for Christmas." So ultimately, that song, "I'll Be Home for Christmas," left the listener with one final plea, and that was, don't give up. We'll be together soon. The spiritual nature of the song comes from its almost prayer-like message. We don't hear the name of Jesus mentioned or even the first Christmas day, but the intent of the song was to have hope in God's love and in his peace and in his provision, and acknowledge that hope that while things were hard and they were different and difficult, at given time, everyone would be home again. You know, folks, if we think about it and we take ourselves back to that very first Christmas, we'll realize that Jesus was away from home. He had come from heaven to earth to a battlefront of his own, of a spiritual war that wages. You know, we've all heard the saying, home is where the heart is. Are you away from home this Christmas? Or is your heart at home with Jesus? Merry Christmas.
You know, as you came in this evening, hopefully you were given one of these communion cups, or you picked one up. I'd like for you to get that out now. We're going to partake of communion together. I'll direct you in how to do this. Just hold on to it right now. And let me give you a thought that'll hopefully help to center you on what this means. You know, there's always certain sounds at Christmas that catch our attention. You know, that first Christmas carol you hear, you know, sometime around the middle of July. Or maybe it's a phone call that you receive from a family member, a loved one, and you were just waiting to hear their voice. Or maybe as a child, it was your parents downstairs and they holler up and say, "Come on down." What's the sounds of Christmas that always catch your attention every year? You know, I want to share with you a new sound, maybe one you've never heard or associated with Christmas. You know, here at First Church, we've been talking about anticipating Christmas using this beautiful Christmas wreath. We talked about anticipating hope and anticipating peace and anticipating joy and anticipating love And tonight, if you've noticed that graphic that we've had up at of the cross, that other part of that is grace. So really, that's what we're highlighting tonight is the grace of Jesus. You know, that's a wonderful subject of communion, isn't it? So here's the sound that I hope that you hear, not just this year, but every year. And when you hear it, I hope that you think of Christmas. And that sound is the sound of grace. Here's the sound. Are you ready? All right, on three, I want everyone to peel off the top layer of this communion cup all together. You ready? And listen. One, two, three. That's the sound of grace. And every time you hear it, maybe it's just here each Christmas Eve or Easter when you come here to First Church, I hope that that's the sound of grace to your ears and to your heart. Do you pray with me, please? Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the manger, and thank you for the cross. And Father, as family, as your family, as brothers and sisters, loved ones and friends, we gather in this place tonight and we remember the words of Jesus when he took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to the disciples, even as he's given it to us here tonight. And he said, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So, Father, we partake of the bread. And here's the sound again on three. One, two, and three. Father, thank you for the sound of grace. And dear Lord, we remember and recognize those words of Jesus when he took the cup after supper and gave thanks and said, "This is my blood shed for you. Drink of it, all of you, and as often as you do, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Lord, as family, we proclaim that sacrifice of grace for all of us. Partake. Father in heaven, thank you for the joy that is ours because we are part of your wonderful and great family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Go ahead and stand. We're going to sing a few more songs here. You know, Jesus doesn't just want to be a part of your life. He is life. So sing out to him. All is bright.
Thank you.
Just permit me a couple of minutes to share with you, and we will send you on your way. You know, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. This has been the best Christmas of my life. I've been on this planet I'll be 56 years old here in just a couple of weeks, this is the best Christmas ever. It's kind of amazing, really, because some weeks ago I thought that this was probably going to be my least favorite Christmas ever. For several reasons. One reason was our daughter Kristen, almost 3 months ago, moved to London, England, and we knew that she wasn't going to be home, and we knew that Sarah and her family and Jack were not going to be able to come up, and that we were going to be, you know, just together, just us at Christmas. And we like each other, Arlene and I. Don't go there. But I was kind of worried about this Christmas, my fears were allayed when we called Kristen in London a few days ago, several days ago. We said, "Honey, we're going to miss you so much at Christmas time. You're way over there, and we're here." And we were worried about her having a down Christmas. And she said, "Hey, Dad, we're going to Paris for Christmas." So Kristen's in Paris. She's got a room overlooking the Eiffel Tower as we're here tonight. So I thought, well, I guess I don't have to worry about her. You know, and then I'm thinking about, you know, that Sarah and Mark and Jack, our son-in-law, that they live in Tennessee, 573 miles from here. But tomorrow, right after we say amen in church tomorrow morning here at First Church, I'm headed to Tennessee just as fast as my car will take me. And I was a little down about that, not having them here on Christmas. But it's the best Christmas ever. You know, Arlene and I, several weeks ago, she always, you know, puts up three or four trees in our house. Our house is always so beautiful. And a few weeks ago, her mother had a pretty terrible fall and hurt herself. She's going to be okay. But Arlene has been spending some time down there. And actually, if you come over to our house tonight, we have zero decorations up in our home. Absolutely nothing. But it's the best Christmas ever. You know, to be honest with you, I've not seen one package with my name on it yet. I'm still hopeful. But it's the best Christmas yet. Let me tell you why. Here at First Church, we've been talking about anticipating Christmas for several weeks. I said it to you a minute ago. You know, the Advent is all about anticipation. Anticipating what God is going to do. Hope and peace and joy and love and tonight grace. I said to First Church here a few weeks ago, I said, you know, I'm so looking forward to Christmas Eve when the person stands up to do the Advent and they say that we've come now to the time that we've been anticipating and looking forward to, the night that we light the Christ candle. I want to tell you something, folks. This is for all my years, I think at Christmas time this year, because of all we've been talking about and doing, it's just made me appreciate what this holiday's all about. I'm telling you, the preacher here at First Church, he has done a fabulous job at explaining this. You know, sometimes when people come up to me after church and they say, you know, Pastor John, I don't know what you're doing this week, but I think you were looking in my window. You were speaking just to me. Well, let me tell you what preachers do. You know what we do? We just allow God to help us deal with ourselves and our issues and our hang-ups and our fears. And then we just simply share it with you. And everything I've said over this Advent season about this holiday, it's hit home for me. And when I look at the nativity, I see a Savior. And you know what? You can You can get all the presents you want this year, but if you don't get the presence, if you don't realize the presence of God, then really all the decorations in the world can do no good. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this blessed holiday. Focus, Lord, our hearts, our minds, our souls, our spirit on the true meaning of Christmas. God, I pray that as we've anticipated the lighting of these candles, that, Lord, we've been taught about all these beautiful gifts that come to us in the presence of Jesus. And tonight, Lord, we top it off. We culminate, Lord, that anticipation with the gift of grace. God, give us eyes to see exactly who you are and what you've done by giving us your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In and out of situations that tug of war at me, all day long I struggle with answers that I need. But then I come into his presence and my questions become clear. And for that sacred moment, no doubt can interfere. In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, to find the answers in the hour of distress. Now there's never any reason for you to give up in despair. Just slip away and breathe in. Hearts are mended. God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended in the presence of the King. Of the King.
Okay, so here's the thought we want to leave you with to take home. Are you anticipating the right things this Christmas? Let me give you, is this how you're anticipating Christmas? Or is it this? You know, all Advent season, we've been asking this question. Is Christmas really the most wonderful time of the year? And we've tried to say over and over again that yes, it is the most wonderful time of the year. But for it to be the most wonderful time of the year for you, you have to understand and realize what God has done. And we pray that this Christmas day tomorrow, tonight and tomorrow, that will just radiate home into your heart and into your mind and into your spirit. And will just bleed out into everyone in your family and everyone that you love and care about. Let me just share two things with you as we close. Number one, thank you so much for coming. And as you leave tonight, if you've come prepared to give a Christmas gift, there will be offering boxes at all the doors. And you can place your gift in there. We will use it wisely. By the way, our little giving box this year, I think we helped 26 families. Isn't that awesome? And if you give tonight, please, there'll be something there for you. Also, if you'll take your little communion cup and dispose it in the trash, that would be very helpful as well. And then tomorrow morning here at First Church, we're having one service, just one. No Sunday school, no small groups or anything, just one service at 10 a.m. It's going to be a beautiful service. And if you'd like to worship with us here at First Church on Christmas Sunday morning, we would love to have you. So let me pray a blessing over you tonight. God, thank you for everyone in this room this evening, each family, Lord. Each mom and dad, child. And Lord, I just pray that you would be their strength and their stay. And that God, the true meaning of Christmas, not the presents, but your presence. You know, not just a babe in a manger, but Lord, a king. A marvelous king, a prince of peace. And help us, Lord, to realize that and to appreciate that in every way. This holiday season. Father, give us safety as we travel tonight and as we travel tomorrow to see family and friends. And just help us, Lord, to share with all that we meet the goodness of what we've learned and heard here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, here's your good song to be singing as you leave tonight, okay? God bless you. Have a blessed holiday.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Go tell them Jesus is born. Go tell them Jesus is born.
While shepherds kept their watching, or Christ is born. Yes, Jesus Christ is born.